Welcome to the Northside Christian Church podcast. This is the collection of weekly sermons from our staff. Northside Christian Church exists to connect people to Christ and one another. So we want to hear how God is working in your life. Share your story by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC. For more information about Northside, visit our website, northsidechristianchurch.net.
Hey, just really quick together, can we just go ahead? Hey, we got a couple things to celebrate. First of all, today getting to see Maddox, David baptized into Christ. So, I mean, we just got some great things to praise the Lord for. Let's just celebrate it. I do hope you'll come back. You know, this is the first year that my wife and I don't have a kid in the Christmas program. Our oldest is a sophomore in college. Our fourth in line. The youngest is now a seventh grader. It's the first time we don't have a kid, but we will be here. And believe me, we'll sit in the back because I know how this works. Parents, grandparents, you want the prime seats right here. Got the video cameras going. It's going to be a great afternoon. And I do want to encourage you to come back and just be a part of that journey. And I'm also excited just for this new Christmas series that we get to start today, called Simple Christmas. And if you watch any Christmas movies, there's a chance you saw this one. It was Christmas with the Cranks. It was a 2004 movie that was starring Tim Allen and Jamie Curtis, and they played the roles of Luther and Nora. And maybe you remember this. Their daughter Blair goes on Christmas. She was going to be in Peru. She wasn't even going to be in town, be overseas. And so they decided, in order to save money and save time and save, you know, all the work and effort to put up decorations, they decided we're going to take a cruise. This was based on a book called Skipping Christmas. They're pretty much going to skip Christmas, take the cruise, relax, chill, and since their daughter wasn't even going to be home. But I'm telling you, the backlash that they received was intense. First of all, you had the police who were angry because they weren't buying their calendar that year. The Boy Scouts were mad because they weren't going to buy a Christmas tree and support their fundraising efforts. You had the newspaper that put out this whole incriminating article against them in print. You had coworkers who were calling them the Scrooge. You had the stationer who was distressed because they weren't sending out their Christmas greeting cards, you know, engraved, all kinds of things. But the worst thing was probably the neighbor's response, because they had this award that was going out to the neighbors for decorating their street, and they weren't going to decorate their house, and they weren't going to get this award. And so the neighbors were furious with them and caused all kinds of grief because they were going to ruin Christmas. And that was about the time that they get the phone call from their daughter on Christmas Eve that says, "I'm coming home." And they're like, no. And so they cancel the cruise, and they're trying to get, you know, she can't wait to be home for Christmas with the lights and everything. And all the neighbors rally to help them, you know, put together this Christmas that they weren't going to have. And they even escort her from the airport to the house and have this great Christmas celebration. And you know, whenever you watch a movie like that around Christmas, you know, I enjoy the humor. It's those kinds of movies where you can appreciate all the neighbors rallying together and helping to make Christmas happen for this family and the spirit of unity. You know, you can get into all of that. But there's no question that you watch a movie like that and you're also left with this sense of, wow, we have really complicated Christmas, haven't we? That you actually want to get away from it so that you can have some relaxing moments. We've complicated what Christmas is all about. And I think it's in moments like that that we're just reminded that, you know what, maybe a complicated Christmas isn't really what we desire. Maybe a simple Christmas is really what we're all after. A simple Christmas. You know, there is a sweeping movement that's happening across our nation in many different areas towards the simple. You have home decor, interior design, graphic arts seem to be going for the simple, the clean lines, the clean look, uncluttered, straight lines. You know why we do that? Why we want simple and uncluttered? Because our lives are complicated and cluttered. That's why. That's why we're drawn to this. And we've made Christmas cluttered and complicated. I can't even say it. It's so complicated. It's cluttered and complicated. And I just want us today to imagine the difference Imagine the difference if we were to strip away the unnecessary. Imagine the difference for a moment if we actually took ownership of the fact that we can help remove chaos from this season, that we have a role to play in this. Imagine for just a moment if we were to decide to simplify Christmas, that maybe what we need to do is undeck the halls and haul out the holly. Maybe we need to do that. All the men are like, preach up, brother. And women are like, blasphemy. That's blasphemy. What if you actually had a silent night? Would you know what to do with yourself? What if this year we decided to do some things differently? You know, the average person is going to go into debt over Christmas this year. Just so they can have Christmas, they're going to go into debt. Imagine with me for a moment, if we were to simplify Christmas. I'm just wondering, let me ask this question. What do you really need to have Christmas? I want you to imagine for just a moment. No lights. No caroling. No fire in the fireplace. Imagine no jingle bells, no fruitcake, no traditions, no PJ onesies. No Christmas photos, no sleigh rides, no chestnuts roasting over an open fire, no traveling, no presents, no tree, no snowmen, no Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, no mistletoe, no Christmas movies, no shopping. If you had none of that, what do you have left? And I would say you have Christmas. You got Christmas. If you have none of that, now I understand that we enjoy a relaxing evening around the fire. I'm not saying fires are bad or something like that, or chestnuts roasting. Any of you actually roasted chestnuts over an open fire? Okay, Jay has right there. So, you know, there you go. Good for you. Never seen it happen, but that's awesome. And so roasted chestnuts over an open fire. Even if there was none of that, I'm just kind of asking the question. If all we had for Christmas was Jesus, is he enough? Is he enough? And if he's enough, then maybe we are overcomplicating this thing. If he's enough, then maybe we can simplify and truly make Jesus our focus. If he's enough, then maybe Christmas really is about keeping our eyes focused on him. And we're just creating a lot of sideways energy with a lot of different efforts on a lot of different things when the focus must be on him. I learned this from a pretty early age, how important it was to keep your eyes on the right thing. I remember when I was 9 years old and I was playing for the Royals and in Webb City, Missouri, and we did believe we were one step away from the major leagues, but we were the Little League Royals or whatever. We were Farm Club. I think it was Farm Club League. And played for the Royals. I was second baseman, and I remember the pitcher pitches the ball. The kid on first was stealing. I covered the bag like I was supposed to. I straddled the bag. The throw came in, and as the ball was entering my glove, he was beginning his slide. I went to apply the tag. And I remember moments later, laying on my back, my dad hovering over me with a bag of ice on my left eyeball, which had the stitches of the ball firmly implanted on my eye, because obviously before it made it into my glove, I took my eye off to apply that tag. And I learned early on that when you take your eye off the most important thing, that you lose everything. I think a lot of us have just taken our eyes off that which really matters. And we've created a lot of sideways energy, and we've become distracted. And as we've become distracted, we've lost our focus on what really matters more than anything else. A lot of people have missed the meaning of Christmas because they're looking at other things. And I just want to convince you this morning that simple is good. Simple is good. If you have your Bible or you have a device, I want you to open up today to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go to the Christmas story, Luke chapter 1, 26 through 28. Now, there's going to be a couple things a little different today. If you're streaming online today, because of the Christmas set for the kids, we don't have the TV, so you can follow along like everyone else will see on the screens. So sorry about that, but we'll present this information, and they may flip back and forth for you. But as we look at Luke chapter 1, 26 through 28, we have an account by Luke of which he would say earlier in his book is an orderly account. It's as if Luke wants it to keep it simple. He doesn't want it to be complicated. He wants it to be comprehensible so that his readers, he says, so you can know for certainty the truths that you believe. So you can know this. And here's what he says. Luke 1, 26 through 28. Luke writes, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, I want to pause for just a minute because I know that there's a lot of chaos in this very first Christmas. A census is going on and they're having to travel. Anytime you travel, it's stressful. Not only that, but she's 9 months pregnant traveling. You're 9 months pregnant traveling, that's stressful. They're going to be in a situation that's not the best of situations to give birth to Jesus. It's stressful. Revelation 12 tells us about the war that was going on in the heavens over the birth of Jesus. It is not all peaceful. So I understand the chaos that's a part of the Christmas story. And yet, even in the midst of that, there's some things that are surprisingly simple. Surprisingly simple. The text says that Gabriel, the angel, went to Nazareth. To Nazareth. Nazareth was a simple town. Nazareth was so insignificant that in the Talmud, which is a central text in mainstream Judaism, it mentions 64 cities in Galilee. Not one of them is Nazareth. Even the historian Josephus, who mentioned 64 cities in Galilee, not one of those cities was 45 cities, not one of them was Nazareth. During the time of Jesus, when Jesus was bringing his disciples together, selecting his disciples, one of them, Nathanael, when he heard that Jesus was from Nazareth, said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, this is what Nazareth, it was just a simple town, this simple place. It probably had about 30 to possibly 90 homes or dwellings. It could have been as about 100 at the most, maybe 300 people in Nazareth. It was 10 acres in size, which is one-fourth of the size of the property here at our church. The entire town would have been smaller than probably any one of our three services that we'll have here at Northside today. It was just a small, simple place. And Nathanael says, can anything good come from there? And well, Mary and Joseph came from there. This small town. They had to have known each other since they were children. You knew everybody in a small town like that. It kind of reminds me of my wife Kim and I. We grew up together. We've grown up together since we were in third grade. We were in youth group together. We were in school together. We were in church together. We were even going with one another in sixth grade for just a little while. We didn't date until we were really in college. It's really when that began. But you know, Joseph had to have had a crush on Mary probably during those years, like I did for Kim. In fact, if you were to look at my third grade yearbook, there's three girls circled in the class, and they're numbered 1, 2, and 3, and Kim was number one, just so you know, in the list. She was the prettiest girl in the class, no doubt. And so what we have here is just some simple people in a simple town. And as we read this, it goes on to tell us in verses 29 through 38 of Luke chapter 1. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words, wondering what kind of greeting this might be. Usually when an angel showed up, judgment was involved. Not necessarily, hey, how's it going? So she was a little nervous. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. I want to share with you today two reasons that I believe simple is good. Simple is good at Christmas. And the first reason is this. It's because God gave a simple message. God gave a simple message. Now, I'm not trying to make light of this message. It was mind-boggling. It was mysterious. It was unbelievable to think that the Almighty, omniscient, mighty God was being born as a baby. Mind-boggling. And yet, such a simple message. One that could be comprehended, one that could be understood. It was plainly spoken to them. You will give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus. Jesus is the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. We learn here that he's the Son of the Most High. That's a title for God, Most High. In other words, he is God in flesh. His is the throne of his father David. In other words, that prophecy thousands of years before made to David. That prophecy is being fulfilled in this boy that's being born in Jesus. That he is the Christ. That's not his last name, that's a title. That means he's the Messiah. He's the promised one to come. The fulfillment of the prophecy is coming true. And he will have a kingdom that will never end. He will reign forever. The message is simple. Jesus is the Son of God. And he's the fulfillment of the promise to David. And that he would be born of Mary. And God will make it happen. That is the message of Christmas. It is that simple. God came. Emmanuel. He's with us. And God gave us this simple message, and it was one that Mary understood what he was saying, even though she didn't know how it was going to take place, as unbelievable as it was. And God would take that same simple message to shepherds, a simple message to them that they could understand, though as unbelievable as it was. And here's what God said to the angel, to the shepherds through the angels, that today, this is Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They understood that. Shepherds knew what swaddling cloths were. They were wrapped in that as babies. They wrapped their own babies in that. It was the choice for poor people. And they knew what a manger was. They fed their animals plenty of times out of a manger. That was simple and understood. And they got that message that his Savior has been born. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's Lord. And they wanted to go check it out. That is the message of Christmas. It's as simple as that. God in the flesh, Jesus, born Son of God, fulfilling the prophecy, and he will reign forever. And I'm just kind of asking the question today, what message are you communicating through your Christmas celebration? What is the message that's getting across to your children, to your family, to friends and coworkers? What is the message of Christmas that you are presenting? What is it about? Are you personally verbalizing the message that Jesus is God and he's in the flesh and he's the Son of the Most High and he's the fulfillment of that prophecy? I would really encourage you to pick this up right here. This is an Advent guide if you haven't already. A lot of the families in our church are using this and doing it right now this Christmas. It's a guide that was, the information was written by Becky Alberg out of the Christian Standard, but it's been illustrated here. Each of the things that we're celebrating, love, hope, peace, has been illustrated by Hannah Shepik from our own church family. She drew all that for us. And I would just encourage you to pick this up, because if you would make Jesus your focus, you would get the message of Christmas through this as you light a candle and go through a very short thought and devotional, making Jesus your focus. When you do that as a family, or you even do that, you invite friends over and they're over for dinner and you say, hey, would you mind if we lit an Advent candle and just kind of did a short little thought here about what Christmas is about? Invite people into your life and make this the message of Christmas. Advent meaning coming, that he's come. I would encourage you to use this. Because a simple Christmas simply means narrowing your focus on the message of Jesus. That's what we mean by simple Christmas. You narrow your focus on the message of Jesus. It wouldn't surprise me if a lot of you in this room, at some point during the next couple weeks, you're gonna across the television screen is gonna come the Charlie Brown Christmas special, right? That 1965 animation film that's still being played and shown. When it comes to that climactic moment when Charlie Brown just shouts out, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And little Sinus pull up. I mean, Linus. Sorry, Sinus. Little sinus issues. He does sound like he has sinus issues. Linus is pulling his little blanket, and he says, "I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And he quotes from that Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 passage about the shepherds and the angels appearing to them, and telling them that a Savior has been born to them. He's Christ the Lord. And he gets done standing center stage, and he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown," as he drops that blankie and proclaims the truth of that. And he's right. We just complicate it. We need to come back to the message that is the important message to share. Are we communicating the simple message of Christmas to our family? I want to challenge you to prioritize every single day celebrating and communicating the message of Jesus from now until Christmas, every day. You find a way to communicate that message consistently. Look for ways to do it. Because the Christmas story goes on here in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. We read, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them." You see, God gave a simple message. Let me tell you the second reason why I believe we need to create a simple Christmas. It's because God came in a simple way. God gave us a simple message, and God came in a simple way. And by simple way, what I mean is Jesus came with a simple beginning. A simple beginning. The mighty God, everlasting Father, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God comes as a baby, wrapped in cloths, completely dependent on his parents, placed in a manger because there was no guest room available. A lot of you, if you grew up reading the 1984 NIV version, which I did. In fact, this Bible right here is the 1984 version. In fact, this is the Christmas story right here, in case you're wondering. It's right there. This Bible will say that there was no room in the inn, right? In the inn. And oftentimes we picture, you know, they're out in a stable somewhere in a barn, or they're out in a cave. And that's possible. It is possible. But I think it's good to note that a lot of Palestinian homes had an area in the lower level, in the front area or of the house, for their animals where they could bring them in. And it was for protection. It was to guard them for safety, keep theft from happening or predators. It could keep them warm during certain times of the year. But they would bring them into that area. And then they lived in an upper portion of the house and had other rooms. And so when it says the guest room was already taken, it doesn't mean that they slammed the door in their face and said, "Get out of here." It could have. But it's possible that they just were brought into that lower level. And truly, it would be like stable-like conditions. They're in the house. There was no guest room available. It was a very humble beginning, placed in a manger as a crib. Jesus came with a simple beginning, but Jesus also came to a simple place. He was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 70 miles from Nazareth. Bethlehem was a very simple place that Micah prophesied about in Micah 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. That it would be in this small place that Jesus would make his grand appearance on earth. Maybe not so grand, right? It was very humble beginnings. And then Jesus came to simple people. To simple people. And I don't mean stupid people or gullible people. That's not what I mean. I just mean plain, ordinary. A young teenage girl who had just become a homemaker. Joseph, who was a carpenter, likely working with stonework, based on the kind of work that was in that area. Just very simple, plain, ordinary people were a part of that first Christmas. You know, I was reading here just, in fact, it was just a couple of years ago, when Forbes magazine listed the most powerful people on earth. This was a 2013 magazine. And here's how the article read. It read that there are 7.2 billion people on the planet, and it said these are the 72 that matter. I wasn't on the list, in case you were just wondering about that. I didn't make the 72, and none of you did either, because I read the list, and you're not in there either. And the fact is, Mary and Joseph would never make that list either, because here were the four criteria that Forbes magazine was looking for this 72 people that actually matter. One, the question was, how many people do they have power over? Two, what financial resources do they control? Three, does the person have influence in more than one arena or sphere of life? And number four, how actively does that candidate wield their power? And if you were to apply that to Mary and Joseph, they don't measure up at all. Mary and Joseph had zero power. Zero power. They had no financial resources. In fact, when they gave their sacrifice days later, it would be a sacrifice of two doves, because that's what poor people do, because you can't afford a lamb or something else. So they were poor, dirt poor. They were not major influencers or shakers. They weren't well known. That's why they could just flee over to Egypt and nobody would know who they were whenever Herod was going after Jesus. And they wielded no power at all. They couldn't even convince somebody to leave a guest room so she could have her baby. These were not people of great power. They were ordinary, plain, mild, meek. And I guess what I'm saying is the way that Jesus came mattered. The way he came mattered. This was an intentional plan of God from eternity past. The Bible says at just the right time Jesus came, that the angels are peering over the balconies of heaven, watching all of this unfold, mesmerized by what God is doing. And that means from eternity past, the Almighty everlasting God determined that Jesus would be born in this place at this time to these people. The way Jesus came mattered. And if the way he comes matters, then perhaps the way we celebrate his coming matters. Maybe there's some things we need to think about and contemplate in our celebration of his coming that matter. And maybe the fact that he came humbly and simply, maybe that matters. Maybe we should aim for some of that in our own celebration of Christmas. We keep it simple, focused on Jesus. It'd be beneficial to us to simplify Christmas. I was reading an article about some researchers from the University of Toledo. And they were doing this research. They published it in a journal of infant behavior and development. And here's what it was called. It was the influence of the number of toys in the environment on toddlers' play. That's what it was about. And according to their study, young children who play in environments with fewer toys, like they only had a few toys, they found that they displayed sustained levels of attention, increased imagination, perception, cognition, and motor coordination. That when they played with fewer toys, it fueled their creativity and it led to deeper, sophisticated play. That was the conclusion. That kids who had 16 toys were so distracted that they didn't actually move into deeper play and using greater cognitive development. They found it to be a negative pattern to have 16 toys. And then they said, you know how many toys the average kid in Britain has? 238. You know how many new toys that the average kid gets in the United States of America? 70 new toys annually were the numbers they were throwing out there. And what they were saying is somehow we have become so complicated with this, wanting so much more that we've lost the quality. We're losing quality of focused attention because we're complicating it. And I'm just wondering if that applies to playing with toys. Perhaps it would apply to our celebrating of Christmas, that we have become so distracted with so many things that we're trying to push for and celebrate that we really have lost some of the value, some of the benefit of what it would mean if we would actually focus on fewer things. The quality of our Christmas celebration would increase significantly if we could find some simple ways to celebrate Christmas. So here's what I'm doing as I wrap this up. I want to encourage you to do the following. I want to encourage you, number one, to intentionally slow down. Has to be planned, has to be scheduled. I want to encourage you to intentionally change the pace for an evening, for a weekend, maybe during a certain week when kids get out of school, you intentionally slow down your pace. Number two, I want to encourage you to spend time contemplating and thinking about what Jesus' incarnation means personally for you. Incarnation meaning in the flesh. Jesus putting on flesh. I want you to think about what that means for you personally. And I want to encourage you to help your family, help your children, help others in your life. Consider what that means personally. I think there's some things you could use with this Advent guide that would help you to do that, so that the message of Christmas is embraced. And then I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to invite some people in your life to our Christmas Eve service where your thoughts will be focused on Jesus. It's going to be a family-friendly evening. We got some great stuff planned. This is one of those nights where you come to and you slow down, reflect, think on what Christmas, the message of Christmas is all about. I want to encourage you to invite some people to come who otherwise may not be here to get in on that. Because a simple Christmas simply means narrowing your focus on the message of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do that this year. So this morning, we're going to do that. In fact, this is a moment right now that you have to just take a deep breath. We're going to put these phrases on the screen. This is the message of Jesus to Mary, to shepherds, that a Savior has been born to you. His name is Jesus. He's Christ the Lord. He's the Son of the Most High. And He will reign forever. He's reigning forever. And this morning, I want you just to meditate, to think on these words for a few minutes. And do that before we take communion together, which is a time where we're reminded Jesus came in the flesh. You can't avoid that when you take bread representing His body and you're eating it, to be reminded of the sacrifice of His body. And you're taking a cup representing the blood of Jesus that He took on flesh and He bled for us, paying the price for our sins on a cross so we could have eternal life with Him and spend forever in His kingdom. That's huge. So I really want to encourage you to ponder that as you reflect on these phrases before we partake today.
Thanks for joining Northside Christian Church for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to share your story with us by emailing amen@northsidechristianchurch.net or by tagging your tweets with #AmenNCC.